LND's audio diary for the 1st of January 2024. It is a Monday and I am on my way to the shelter. Let me just lower the level of my coffee cup. It's a coffee cup currently containing cough tea, of course. But I'm heading off to the shelter. It's New Year's Day. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, dear listener. I hope your evening was wonderful. We had a marvelous New Year's Eve. It's always a big deal for us. You know, we don't have parties because we're not party people. But with just the three of us, we just really enjoyed ourselves. I made fish. And Mrs. Bronx made some of her Puerto Rican rice that we just love. It was marvelous. Went perfectly with the fish. It was really nice. She likes shrimp cocktails, so I got her some of that. And let's see, what else? We played music. I dug out some of my old tunes that I got put aside. And, you know, it was just a lovely, lovely, lovely evening. You know, we had a little bit to tipple there, a little bit to drink. Little Bronx is old enough now. And, he has some of his wine coolers. And, what else? He tried pina coladas that Mrs. Bronx made. And then he tried a sip of sake and promptly threw up all over the floor. Well, if that's not a rite of passage, I don't know what is. Poor guy. But he was cool with it. He was fine. He rolled with it. That was it for his drinking that night, but he was fine. Alright, so we're into a new year, but what would a new year be without at least some of our famous traditions? And yes, you know the one I'm talking about, dear listener. Eating in your ear. I have a cheese bagel right now. And, it's a little stale. It's day old, but it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. So, I don't like to look back on things. I really don't. So, we're going to look forward. What do I intend to do with this new year coming here? Well, obviously, I am going to finish writing and recording and releasing All He Surveys Volume 2. That is the plan for this year. And for some people, that might not be very ambitious. For some writers, that's no big deal at all. But for me, it is. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting that thing out there. Well, first off, I'm really looking forward to crafting it and getting it to a form that I like. I finished chapter 15, draft 4 of chapter 15, not yesterday, but the day before, and got it all done. You know, got that, you know, for the draft. I'll have to go through and keep polishing and fixing, but for that draft, I got it done, and I was very happy with that. I was very happy to do it, and I was happy with the way it turned out. Well, that's all well and good, but from this point forward, I have a lot more work to do. It's not just a matter of, you know, tweaking and polishing and, you know, and all of that stuff. It's not that. It's actual reconstruction. I've talked about that before. So it's a big job coming up. So the first part of that job is to reread everything that I had already written, because it's been months since I've read it. Many months, actually. So I have to go through and reread it. But my problem is that I cannot stop myself from editing while I'm reading, right? So I have to turn it into like a PDF or something and export it so that I'm not just going to be constantly tweaking this stupid thing. Because it's just, it's I don't know. I just can't. I don't even think about it. I just start working on it, you know? And if it's in an editor, that's just going to be the problem all along. And right now, I don't want to do that. I just want to read it and get a sense of where it is so that I know where to go, right? I know where to go from this point forward. And, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to have to do that. I'll probably make a quick and dirty PDF that I'll just read from that point, you know, right there. This sounds weird, right? This sounds weird. But I don't want to export it and put it on like an ebook reader or a tablet or something. And the reason being is that if it gets separated physically from the machine I'm going to be working on, for some reason in my mind, it's a totally different thing, and I cannot equate what I need to do with, you know, with the work, right? In other words, in my mind, it's like some other book, and it's not related to the book I'm working on. I know, it doesn't make any sense. It's irrational, but there you go. So I'm gonna have to read it right there on that machine, but in a format that I can't tweak. So when I go to fix it, I can't, right? It's like, oh, you know, but it's not far from where I'm actually gonna be doing the work. And in my mind, it's all the same project. Very silly, I know. I can't help it, but there, you know, we all have these disabilities and we all have these little weird brain quirks. You just learn to live with them. You learn to plug your work habits into the way that all works, right? And I can do it. I can do that. That'll be fine. So that's the book, right? And that is the project of the year. I'm looking forward to really digging into it. However, that's not the only thing I want to get done this year. You know, that's the primary thing, and that takes precedence over everything else. So if I have other stuff that I'm leaving unfulfilled, I'm fine with it, so long as this thing gets done. But the other stuff, let's see. I do want to work more on the role-playing game. I know you knew I was going to go there, but that's the reality. I do want to do that. I am on chapter, or not chapter, I am on 0.05.3 that I'm working on right now. And I have broken that down into a bunch of different sections. You know, and this is just the plain rules. So that it'll be a little bit easier to work on those, because I can just go to those sections and work on, you know, just those pieces. And I have them in separate directories, and I can just go and do that. And then I'll assemble the whole thing when I'm ready. You know, that's the idea. Anyway, I've decided not to worry about the formatting. Formatting, I figure, can happen later. I'm just going to work on the rules and the text and try to clean it all up. I don't know if I'll get as much playtesting done as I would like, but I'll try. You know, I'll try. To that end, this past week, I worked on and built a timer device out of cardboard. And basically, it's just a thing with 10 tabs that are on a little hinge, right? I used a bamboo skewer. And these tabs, I can flip them up, and they're all marked 1 to 10, and I can flip them up or flip them down to count off 10 of something without having to write anything down or mark anything or any of that, right? I saw it, excuse me, while I eat in your ear. I saw a thing like this on YouTube. This guy who, he's got a channel called Bandits Keep Actual Roleplay. I think that's the name of it. But he's got a dice tray that's got these things built in, right? They're made of wood. His are made of wood. They look really nice. Mine's just cardboard and it looks crappy, but it works. And it's built into his dice tray. And I thought, wow, that's actually very handy. You know, just a really quick thing where you can just flip off and count to 10 for something. So like rounds or hit points or whatever, right? Just very quick, very easy. And I thought that was very clever. The dice tray that it's attached to, it's all built into one piece. The dice tray is garbage that he's got. And it's well used. It's well used, but I don't know. It's like the, you know where the felt or the cloth on the bottom is? I think that's like a trampoline because all his dice just bounce right the hell out of that box. He throws them and those things go flying. It's awful. You know, and a really low, low walls and everything like that. And his aim isn't great either. So it's just, you know, as a dice tray, it's a disaster. But as a timer thing, very clever. So I took that, right? And I built one of those. It only took me like an hour and a half one night. And then it took me like another 2 days. I glued all around the edges so it's a little bit stronger, a little bit less likely to fray and, you know, fall apart. When you're working with cardboard, you want it to be as strong as possible. So a couple of days, we'll say. Because there's a lot of drying time. But it's done, and it works. And, it doesn't look great, but it looks crappy. But everything I have is crappy, but it's all functional. So to me, it's beautiful. And, the thing that makes this nice, well, one of the things, I mean, the fact that it's functional is the thing that makes it good, but it fits my little cardboard die roller that I made a while ago, and I've talked about it. You know, it looks terrible. It's all made of corrugated cardboard, and it's not special, but this thing fits right there, right? So if I wanted to, I could put it all together into one piece, kind of like the way this other guy's was, or is, and have it all in one piece. I don't know that I want to do that, though, right? Because this thing is delicate. You know, I could drop it from, I don't know, half a foot onto carpet and feel okay, but no higher, and certainly not on a, you know, like a hardwood floor or tile or anything like that. It's delicate. And I don't know that I want to permanently attach it to the die roller, it's not much of a tower, but I don't know that I want to permanently attach it, because if I glue it on there, then when it breaks, there's not a lot I can do, you know. I'm going to have to work around it and, you know, try to glue it, and then while I'm gluing it, the die roller is going to be out of commission because the whole thing's got to dry and blah, blah, blah. So I think I'm not going to. I'll just slot them together when I'm using them, maybe. And it's possible I could build some sort of platform or minor tray, not to roll dice in, but to fit the die tower into it so that it doesn't slide all over the place when I'm working. That probably is the best way to go. Because while that does take up more room and it's a little more annoying, it'll make it a little more functional and yet keep the pieces separated in case I need to fix one or the other. And that'll probably be the way to go. At any rate, this will make an appearance in the next video I do, because that video, I'm going to try to do up a couple of adventures using the Star Drifter Ultimate Dungeon Terrain, or SUDT, and to show off how I feel it can be used and really enhance a person's game. My thinking so far, you know, having played with it for a bit now, it's not a game, or it's not a tool for a game that is focused on realism, right? So I wouldn't want to use it for something like, well, certainly not for something like Warhammer 40,000, where the focus is on how beautiful the figures are, or the, you know, the terrain that you've set up, because people really, that's half the hobby for a lot of people, right? It's, you know, as a war game goes, you know, if you want a real war game experience, there are many, many others to choose from. But, you know, if you've dumped a lot of money into Warhammer 40,000, you're not going to want to turn around and use an abstract system for counting location and distance, like a UDT of some sort. So, no, it's no good for that. And it's probably no good if you play D&D or Pathfinder or something that way as well, where it's very, you know, it's very visual. And you're used to that, and that really enhances the game for you. That won't work for you. You know, the UDT won't work for you there. The UDT is an abstract system. And yes, you can set it up so that you have this little vignette right there, and it's very visual. You can do that. That's a thing you can do if you want to. But the Star Drifter UDT is especially, it's apropos because Star Drifter is an abstract game. You know, everything about Star Drifter is representative of what's happening. It's not meant to simulate, right? So if you're taking damage, it's not meant to simulate actually taking damage, right? It's meant to represent a concept of damage, and then you can flesh that out in your mind or visually, you know, in some fashion if you can think of it, or verbally, you know, while you're playing. Now, I think I'm going to have a section on, and I usually hate this in rule books, but I think in Star Drifter, it might be worthwhile having a section on role-playing, like a small chapter on role-playing and how you should do it for Star Drifter to really get the most out of it. For Star Drifter, if you want that visual experience, you can have it, but you need to take a few extra steps because it is kind of halfway theater of the mind to begin with. And because most of what's happening on the board is, again, it's figurative, it's abstract. You're going to have to supply something if you want that visual experience in your mind. And it's either going to have to come from the game master or the players, or, in my mind, what I think is the best thing is from both, right? So if something doesn't directly involve the players, I think the game master should narrate it and fill it out and you know, talk about what's happening and give it some color and give it some life, right? But if it involves the player character, like your player character gets shot and he takes X amount of points and it happens, you know, you roll some dice, okay, that turns out it's your leg, right? Because I have a body zone table now for the new version that needs testing, but I have it. And if you get hit in a certain part of the body, the way that it tells you where that is, and it tells you the game effect, which is always negative sit mods, right? Negative situational modifiers. So you get hit in the leg, and it might be minus one or minus two or something to your movement and to some of your combat rolls or something like that, right? And that's a status effect that you have to keep track of. And that, you know, that's a thing that you can use. Now, these are optional rules. You don't have to use it, right? And in many cases, you wouldn't want to. But sometimes you might. And in which case, you've got this, you know, this rule set. Okay, that works out really good. But what's that really mean? You took a shot to the leg and now you're moving slow. That's not exciting. So I think it should be on the, you know, the onus, if it involves the player characters directly, I think the onus should be on the player characters to describe what's happening, right? So the game master says, okay, you take a shot to the leg, you're at minus two to your movement and, you know, minus whatever to your combat rolls. Okay, describe to me what's happening here. And then the player character can say, yeah, you know, he turns around and he gets a shot in the leg and the, you know, bounces off the femur and he's like, he felt that, you know, all that sort of stuff. If that's the kind of game you like to play, where you're really bringing that stuff to life. If you don't, you don't need to do anything. You've gotten the damage, you know what's happening with the character, and you just move forward with the combat. And it's beautiful because it can play to both types of games, you know, gamers, you know. It can really move for people who, you know, who really want to, you know, move the game along, who really want the whole system to, you know, work for you like that. Is this place open? I don't even know if this place is open yet. I am at the, it's 8 o'clock, a little after 8. I'm at the shelter now, and it looks like nobody's in yet. There are a couple of cars, they're waiting. They might be in there. I don't have a key, but I can get in, I can get past the fence. I know how to do that, but I don't have a key to the building. So I guess I'm going to go in there. I'm going to wander around like an idiot. Oh, there's somebody inside. All right, so at least something is going to be open there. All right, that's it for me. So Happy New Year, dear listener. I hope it's a wonderful one, and I will talk to you later this year.